North Coast, the wet coast is calling.
They had a big storm.
Yeah, I know.
There's a bomb threat at the courthouse today.
Oh, I know.
How exciting. Somebody wrote on Cal Coast News that, well, we know it isn't a real bomb threat, because a Muslim threat, because the Muslims just turn the bombs off, they don't tell it.
They'll threaten it.
Okay.
Good evening, Celia.
You guys want to turn on your mic over there?
Good evening. Good evening.
I like your hair.
Okay. Karen says she likes your hair. Karen likes your hair.
Did you get two on your mic? Let's call this meeting to order. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting March 23rd at 6:30. Celia, can I ask for a roll call order? Roll call, please.
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Guerrero?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Thank you. Karen, can I ask you to lead us in a flag salute?
Attention salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Is there anybody who wants to make any changes, corrections, additions to the agenda? Now is the time that we do that. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to accept the agenda.
I make a motion we accept the agenda as written.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Passes? 5-0. This time, let's do public comment. These are for items that are not on the agenda tonight. So if anybody would like to speak, now is the time to speak for items that are not on the agenda. Ms. Tucker.
Is this on? Good. I didn't see the light. Good evening. I'm Julie Tucker. And over the last several years, we've seen the Phillips 66 project coming finally to a decision-making body. And I've repeatedly asked your board to take a position. And again, we'll do that tonight. The reason I want to underscore that you really should take a position and take a stand, I like to believe that you would oppose the project, is because I don't know, I don't feel like your board is standing up for Oceano. And why I feel that and feel like I need to tell you this tonight is that some months ago, it's probably been almost a year ago now, Pismo Beach, you signed on as a party or interested party in their recycled water program. And to me, if you didn't recognize it, what I saw is their interest in you is that you have a disadvantaged community status and that you would make their project grant eligible. This week, and we'll talk about it later tonight, the Board of Supervisors is doing the very same thing with the Diablo desalination project. They're looking to Oceano's disadvantaged community status as a way to, in this case, lengthen the life of the loan, that the low-interest loan that they may get. And by doing that for an extended period of time, you reduce the cost of the monthly payments or the annual payments. And how long is Oceano going to stay depressed? When is the interest in Oceano going to be about getting out of the disadvantaged community status, and standing on your own 2 feet, and being significant in this county. This is a beautiful community. You know that. That's why you live here. I know that. That's why I come here. And that's why I advocate for Oceana when I'm at this podium and when I go other places. I'm standing up for you because I don't feel you standing up for you. And I'm very concerned with this desal project, and we will talk about it a little later tonight, that keeping Oceano depressed is what all the communities around you are going to benefit from in that very expensive project. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Great.
My name is Mary Squilotti, and I work for Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, or CAPSLO. And I work here in Oceano at the corner of Vista and 19th Street, at 1511 19th Street, in the Oceano Family Resource Center. And I came tonight because I would like everyone to know about our Family Resource Center. But I also would like to ask if it would be possible on Sunday, April 24th, to have a portion of 19th Street closed off. It's right at the community center, so it's the corner of Wilmar and 19th, and we would like to have it closed off because we have an annual event called Day of the Child. You know, the month of April is the month of the child, and once a year we have the Day of the Child, and it's going to be Sunday, April 24th from 1 to 3:30. And if we could possibly have that part of the street closed off, we're going to be having the food bank come to distribute food to all the families who come. Also to have Lisa Ray and her traveling clothes closet come. She'll be distributing clothes. And then the Five Cities Fire Authority. They're going to have a fire truck that's on call between, I think, 2 and 3. So they'll be able to be there if they don't get called out to a fire, so the children can look at the truck and hear about the fire truck. So if there would be a possibility that we could have that portion of the street closed off, then the children, the families can be out there and move freely and not worry about safety.
Thank you. Mr. Ogren, does the county still run the streets?
Yes, that's correct, and I think that Mary has been talking with County Public Works about the road closure.
Yes.
Their interest in us is just to make sure that we don't have a problem with it, and of course we don't. I think it sounds like it's going to be a great event.
It is. It's great. A lot of fun.
And you have flyers around town? Or?
Not yet. The flyers are done by Dignity Health, and they're still working on them, but we will. And then we get permission from the school district so that all the children in the local elementary schools get to take them home.
Okay, great.
So we hope we'll have a good turnout.
It'll be wonderful.
Yeah. It sounds like a great
thank
event.
You for what you do.
Thank
sure.
you.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Thank you for letting me speak tonight. I
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so everybody has to remember Sunday, the 24th, Day of the Child.
1 to 3:30.
Monday of the Child.
Yeah, and we'll be glad to post it in our window as well if you bring a flyer by.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, moving right along. How about if we just jump to Tony Marichan? How about we just do that? Tony, you get to go first tonight.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. All right, for the past couple weeks, we've had 9 work orders, 8 USAs, 6 customer service calls. We had 1 call out due to a house complaint of no water, which the home's house valve was shut off by a resident of the house. Nobody was communicating with each other. We had a service line break on Bell Ridge that we had to repair in place. We had some valve turning. The electronic annual report to the State Water Resource Control Board has been submitted. We had door hangers. Duke's Root Control foamed a little over 3,000 feet of sewer main, and when they do that, they foam a section of sewer main, which will eliminate all roots, and it's guaranteed for 2 years. Just our high root areas in our sewer mains, just another preventive maintenance that we do. And they do guarantee it for 2 years. If we find any roots in the sections that they do foam, they come back and foam it for free. We had a 12-inch line relocation on South Elm Street. They had to get relocated due to the project in Arroyo Grande, right next to 7-Eleven. Some weed abatement at the yard. We had lock-offs. We had meter reads this past week. Re-reads for high, lows, notifications for leaks. We also had a hydrant get hit on pier in front of Angelo's TV, or Angelo's ATV. Sorry about that.
You know, I'm just not surprised. That hydrant was bound to get hit.
Yes, and I'll be calling the county inspector and talking to again about...
To put it in the middle of a driveway just didn't make any sense to me. But, you know.
That's the guidance we had for installation from the county.
It almost got hit again today. I ran out and got
hit. I don't doubt it. Any questions?
Lake Lopez, where are we at on...
The last stats I gave you at the beginning of this month, I can go back over those.
We're going to do a whole big zone 3. I'm sure it will come out then.
All right. Never mind then. Thank you,
Sounds
Tony.
Good.
I had a question. The service line on Bell Ridge, that's a relatively new development out there.
Correct. It is. And it was a Schedule 80 service line, which I was kind of really surprised. It had a pinhole in it, and I was a little shocked because it's a new development. Either the material got scuffed, damaged prior to installation, or it was sitting on some, the fill sand wasn't as clean and had a lot of rock in there. Turning on and off water in your household causes your pipes to have water hammer, no matter how small the pipe is, and it was most likely rubbing on a sharp edge of a rock, and it caused enough that it sprung a leak.
Wasn't that a Tacken project?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I just think we need to keep our eye on that a little bit.
Yes, we have been.
Thank you. Have there been problems up at the avocado orchard or anything like that? I did hear of one woman who had a severe problem up there, and I just want to know if that was fixed or if that was even in our jurisdiction.
There was a couple wastewater issues on one resident already.
Okay.
Same location's been flooded twice with wastewater. Yes.
Same developer. And then I wanted to ask...
Did they have backflow preventer?
No, they were not put in.
No.
Are you done
but with the block, you know... We did a whole report on that one.
I'm done.
Okay. Matt, do you have any more
questions? No, thank you. Thank you, President Lucy.
I wanted to ask you about the Elm pipe. Did we have to pay to replace the
pipe? No cost to the CSD. That was the second time we've had to have a line relocated due to stormwater drain.
Because that's relatively large apartment
Correct.
Complex.
And there was a 3-foot diameter stormwater drain that had to get installed. That's why we had to have two parts of our water lines relocated deeper.
Okay.
Madam President, it didn't cost us anything. In fact, we were fully reimbursed for our costs, which were probably on the two different sites combined around $5,000 or so.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else you want to offer? Any suggestions?
Not at this time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor Chan.
Okay, so can I assume, is there a sheriff's report? No. Sweet, or crime-free. Karen, do you have anything under the fire? Do you want to wait till the director's reports? Or
I really won't have anything much either time. The there was no monthly meeting of the Five Cities Fire Authority. The only thing is there's been, I personally have not double-checked it, but we have the new mutual aid agreement is crafted, and it means we are staying much closer to home. And that's really all I have to report at this time.
And I know that it was sent on to me. I think everybody else got one as well. And I think it does help budgetary-wise. I'm not quite sure what it does for service, but it certainly...
Well, it really is a service issue. If you have an Arroyo Grande truck going to Wasno on a medical aid, mutual aid call, that means there's no fire truck in Arroyo Grande. And by not going that far out of our area, we will be within our towns, our service areas.
So
yeah, it really, it means a lot service-wise.
Yes. Okay, thank you. And Mr. Ogren, Zone 3.
Madam President, on Zone 3, I'm going to cover most of that as part of Item 8C during the discussions.
Okay.
Only had a couple other quick items on the General Manager's Report. I did meet with the Executive Committee of Five Cities Fire Authority. One of the topics being is some early discussions on the term sheets that had been recently circulated. And the most pressing item out of that was consistent with your board's discussion, which was more fiscal analysis associated with the different proposals. The other item that I'm going to report on, and I'll come back with a presentation at a later date, but based on some research that Tony had been doing, we obtained a license for a cloud-based training program. It's within, well within our training budget right now. But what the module does is it allows us to set up a full-scale training program at an extremely affordable cost. The annual fees are about $1,100. It's a $395 base fee and about $110 per employee. And what it gives us to do, it has all of the required training associated with California, you know, the variety of things like discriminatory harassment prevention training, ethics training. It also includes OSHA training requirements, and it has training modules that are specific for water and wastewater agencies. It provides the ability for us to incorporate our own tailor-made training programs. For example, our Tony and the guys have to go through periodically in order to check maintenance on all the vehicles and every equipment. So there's forms where we can put those maintenance requirements, the checklists, into the program. They can access them through their smartphones and reduce paperwork associated with that. Its document management will include the ability to efficiently manage all of the policies and procedures as well as ordinances and resolutions so that those are all current. And the product itself is the company, Target Solutions, is essentially funded through some of the large insurance agencies in California. Special Districts Management Authority and the California State Associations of Counties, their excess insurance provider. Those agencies that are part of those insurance groups have access to the software and the program free of charge, which means that the risk management companies, and these are, you know, some of the top risk management companies in California for public agencies, have made sure to really vet it, and they're paying for the costs in order to reduce, you know, liabilities associated with risk management. I'm very optimistic about it, and my first session with the group will be on, well, tentatively targeted for April 5th, but sometime in April or May, I'll come back and do an overview presentation of how the whole training program works. Again, super cost effective. It's a really, really good looking program, and I think it will be really important for the district.
Great. Sounds interesting, and we look forward to hearing more about it after you get it
going.
Okay. start with Mr. Guerrero.
I have no reports.
None at all?
Nine, Danka.
That's so surprising.
You covered for me at the sanitation
district. No, you're going to help me on that report.
Okay, I wasn't there, but okay.
Karen?
Yeah, I attended the Policy Advisory Committee for the San Luis Obispo County Coastal Regional Sediment Management Plan. San Luis Obispo County, pending some final approval, now has a Coastal Regional Sediment Management Plan. It basically is a plan of what to do with global warming and as the tide comes in and the land goes down. It has to do with resanding the beaches. It has to do with dredging the different bays. It has to do with all those types of things within the entire county. And the plan is that this is it's a guidance document that provides a framework for regional stakeholders to use in addressing issues associated with sediment imbalance within San Luis County and environs. When I first saw the plan, there was no mention of the Roy Grande Creek, but since that time, there was some action taken by some other people and myself. And there's 12 elements to this plan, and one of them is upstream flooding because of sandbar blockage at the Rio Grande Creek. And it deals with everything, including threat to the municipal wastewater treatment plant. So it really spells out the fact that this becomes an issue. So this is on a county plan that recognizes the challenges along the whole coastline of the county. And the plan now is to move forward and have some kind of a standing committee that will continue to use this plan and facilitate such things as grants. Anyway, I thought it was very interesting. And if anybody has any questions, which I doubt, I'd be happy to answer.
I just have a quick one. Is the final report done? Are you working on the draft still?
No, we finished up the draft, okay. And it goes to SLOCOG's board of directors to approve.
Okay.
And then I believe it goes to the board of supervisors to approve, and then it's. And as somebody pointed out, in the future it will be, among other things, just something as a check-off when other projects move forward. You can say, yes, we have this plan for the county. It exists, and here it is, and here's a way to go forward.
Shovel ready.
Not quite.
Mr. Ogren, do you have this plan in its entirety do you have access to it, I should ask?
Yes, we do have access to it.
Can you email it to us?
To all the board members?
The ones that want it.
I do.
One, two, three,
it's about 170 pages. It's about 170 pages.
I will.
Be glad to.
All right.
Okay, Jennifer.
On Friday, I attended the California Special Districts Association meeting for March. We had the property tax projections given to us, which has the audit, have they passed those on to you, or should I?
Yes, they have.
I thought so. I think there was like an increase of about 5% on those. They wanted to, it was about 5%, or maybe a little bit under. There was also an update from the County Energy Watch group. They were encouraging CSDs to contact them before projects are going or before they're finalized so that to get any incentives that might be available for equipment that could be energy saving. There was an update from LAFCO and from our CSDA rep in Sacramento, who was letting us know about a campaign that they are doing. They've launched a new website called districtsmakethedifference.org, and there's a toolkit with interesting information to help get CSDs more out there in front of people so that people know what special districts do.
You know, Oliver Stone did a wonderful piece on special districts the other night.
It was mentioned at the meeting.
It was really great.
John Oliver, yeah.
John Oliver, that's right. Okay. Mr. Ogren, do you have something you'd like to add? Turn your mic on.
Not at this time, thank you.
Turn your mic off. Okay, does anybody have any questions for Jen? Also, was there any discussion regarding commercial fishermen and coastal stuff?
No.
No. By Captain Dave, he didn't mention any of that? Some of the law that's going through?
No. No, okay. They did not mention the laws at all.
Okay, great. All right. And Director Angelo?
I didn't attend any meetings, but I did get a call from a resident that was highly agitated about the mess that was over.
About the what?
The mess that was over on 21st Street, I think it was.
Oh, First Street?
The dirt road that goes between.
Yeah, 21st.
Oh, 21st, the 8B item, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, called me on Friday afternoon, talked to them, and after I discussed some things with them, he asked to talk to our supervisor. So I said, okay, and he says, can I contact her? I says, yes, I'll give her her phone number, but she may not call you back till the next day. But apparently she called him right back, and within 2 days, the stuff's gone.
Well, it's getting that way. Mr. Ogren?
Certainly, I can cover it in more detail during item 8B.
Great. Thank you.
Do you mind if I forgot to mention something?
Hold on 1 second. Mm-hmm. Let her finish her report. Is it part of her report?
That's all I had. Yeah. I didn't have anything else.
So you have nothing else?
Nope.
And the resident was happy? And
yes, very.
Pleased? And great. Thanks. Jen, go ahead.
I just wanted to let everybody know that the Oceano Advisory Council meeting for this month that is supposed to be next Monday was canceled because we didn't have any referrals from the county. So our next meeting will be in April on the fourth Monday.
So the Oceano Advisory Committee has been postponed for this month?
Yes.
Okay. And that's really a great committee to be involved on a community level with. I really like that committee. I attended the sanitation district meeting. I feel so loved there. There was a discussion regarding the new hire of the general manager. I was not involved in that process. Mr. Guerrero might want to speak to that some more. There was a lot of discussion around the redundancy project. The board did vote to bring on, I can't remember the name of the...
Kennedy Jenks.
Kennedy Jenks. I think it was for 1.9, right around that price, just to start the initial surveys, not the actual project. There was a long discussion around bylaws when Chairman Scholes was nominated, appointed, or elected. He nominated Matt Guerrero as his co-chair, and since I now am holding the seat on a regular basis, Mr. Scholes wants to change that, and so it's been put back onto the agenda to, I can only assume it would be Mr. Hill he would select. I'm not quite sure how that falls into following the bylaws or not, but I'm sure they'll let me know. And there were a couple other things, but overall, I think the sanitation district is doing well, and you could speak to the general manager because I wasn't involved in those interviews, nor did I receive any of their resumes or applications.
I believe the gentleman that was hired was Mr. Huebner, and we had interviewed a couple of candidates after going through the public hiring process, and he was, by a consensus of the board, offered a position. I obviously wasn't there at the last one. I understand that he was hired then. Is that correct?
I think they're in the... Yeah.
Or
yes.
Okay.
They had a contract.
All right. I hadn't followed up with it. So I think that that's important to the sanitation district with the large projects that are pending, with the administrative weaknesses that we've seen. I think it's good to have somebody in there with that particular experience. He came with a lot of experience. He's previously worked in, or comes with a lot of experience, I should say, previously worked, I think, in Los Osos project.
I think he was with the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and as a result of his role there, he would have been associated with a large number of different activities
in
San Luis Obispo County.
And he's been down, I think it's Ventura County at the time. Sorry, I didn't bring his resume with me, but Ventura County. I'm very hopeful for the sanitation district going forward. I share the concern, though, that with the money being spent on redundancy, especially now that I think the alarm has been pulled back on the condition of the FFR, that I would like to see the reclamation and a larger scale project go forward, because I think that's the issue that's pressing the area. I understand there was some discussion regarding the desalination from Diablo Nuclear Power Plant yesterday, and some saying that the county has 2 years of water. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it is a drought. We're in a drastic drought, and this El Nino that we were all waiting for, while it has produced some rain, I don't think, I've been underwhelmed by the amount of rain compared to what I had hoped for. So, and obviously, I think the most important project that can be worked on in South County by any agency that deals with wastewater is reclamation. So
I think those are my two cents. That's a little confusing and needs some clarity, is that are they going to do it on site in the existing location, or are they going to take it to another location? I don't think
it's not far enough along to make that decision, which is my concern about spending money on redundancy, now that we know that the FFR is in dire immediate risk of failure, shall I say, that redundancy, though important, I think it should be looked at to whether or not the recycling program can accommodate that as well. So.
Right, and maybe you could talk a little bit about the permitting, the fallout permitting, because my understanding, and I was led to believe that they were in a permit holding plan or special permit, and then I had gotten an answer that the permit was good for 5 years, and that was one of the reasons why the redundancy had to happen now.
Right, I can't speak to that.
You don't have the answer.
Right,
there
I don't have the answer to that.
Okay.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
One was, what was the new general manager's name? I missed.
Mr. Hubner, H-U-B-N-E-R.
Okay.
And I forgot his first name.
H-U-B-N-E-R. And then what was FFR? I missed
Fixed film reactor.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
It's a big one over there at the sewer plant.
I think Mr. Hubner's first name may be Gerhardt.
Yes, I think that's correct.
Yes.
Gerhardt. I believe that is correct.
And it is our win.
He'll be the only Gerhardt in Oceano, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is definitely a win for us. Yes, Karen?
I don't understand why we're looking at redundancy in a facility that, if all the predictions are correct, is going to be underwater in 10 years. I just don't understand.
And is 60 years old.
And is 60 years old. We're going to need to move that sucker.
And it's within the jurisdiction of the Coastal Commission.
Yes.
And this is the discussion that should be happening that's not happening at the sanitation district.
So before we get too far into a discussion and beyond, board member report,
right.
We can certainly, as soon as Mr. Hubner gets on board, invite him to come and attend. I did look at some of the details that they have in their project planning, concerns about flooding as well, obviously. A lot of agencies are looking at coastal retreat strategies. But part of the scope of work does include specifically evaluating flood risks and what kind of mitigation projects would be necessary. So,
thank you.
Certainly.
Yeah, I think it's a concern for us all. So I'll definitely keep people posted, and as the reports start to come out, I'll even have them print in a lot of the packets as well, so we can read about it when we can't sleep. Okay, at this time, I'm going to take a public comment for any items under 6A and 6B, which would be staff reports and director's reports. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I had a question about the executive board of the FCFA and who's on it and when that meeting was. And then why was the board meeting canceled? Those two questions. With regard to, I like this conversation you're having about the sanitation district, and I would encourage you to actually agendize it and probably talk about it and take a position and send a memo to the board. Because, and I'm hopeful with Gerhard Huebner's experience at the water board that he can negotiate some sort of, you know, back down, because I do believe the Coastal Commission is going to tell you no, but unfortunately the sanitation district may spend an awful lot of money pursuing a project that will be told no, similar to that what's happened in Morro Bay. And Mary, just so you know, the permit that Mr. Clemens was talking about was the regional board's discharge permit, and
correct,
how that permit has a five-year life. What the permit that's really got me going is the incomplete coastal development permit application for the redundancy project, and that the coastal's going to look at that and say, why are you giving us 2010 documentation? What in the world were they thinking? And sadly, the consultant was hired. I know it's not a whole lot of money. It's a lot of money in my world. $32,000 for the easy permit. That's what he told your district. I'll charge only $32,000 for if it's easy. If it's harder, it's going to be more. Well, he just made it harder. He made it harder. He guaranteed himself more work with that cruddy product. So, and I would encourage you, the Oceano Community Services District, to pay very close attention to that, because it is in your backyard. And I am encouraged by recycled water discussions over Diablo desalination discussions, spending the $20 million towards redundancy on new infrastructure in a recycled project. You know, those things just make sense at this point. These are big dollars. Now it looks like I'm preaching to the choir, but and we haven't been on a lot of the same pages, but I think this one we're together on this. But I would encourage you, send a message to that board to stop, because Coastal's going to tell you to stop, but don't spend so much money getting there.
So let the rector reflect that I agree with Julie Tacker on every point she made.
So do I.
Celia?
But make sure that reflects.
Thank you.
But I did want to elaborate a little bit more on the coastal application. It was an embarrassment to see that it wasn't reviewed, and there was only partial pieces that were submitted, and what it did is it just raised 10 red flags to the Coastal Commission. So I think that speaks to the importance of having good, strong leadership, and it's hard to have the redundancy reclamation discussion at that board, but hopefully it'll happen.
And I agree that is the most, or I will say again, the redundancy is the most important discussion that we can be having, because there will be another drought, probably in my lifetime, definitely in my kids' lifetimes, and to protect that resource is we need to stop the cycle of insanity. So
again, more to follow after Mr. Huebner gets on board.
Yes.
Again, as a clarification, that's the sanitation district.
Correct.
Not Oceano CSD. And one of the other points that I think is important for clarification is that unlike some of our other relationships with our neighboring cities, like the Five Cities Fire Authority, where that's a joint powers agreement, where the three agencies, Oceano, Rio Grande, and Grover Beach, came together to develop an agreement as to how Five Cities Fire Authority would be structured and operated and funded and everything. The Sanitation District is a different type of an agency. It's an independent special district, which means that Oceano CSD has no agreements with the Sanitation District. The point being there is that the sanitation districts under the Health and Safety Code, much like Orange County Sanitation District, they really do operate independently. And the unique feature is that their board of directors is made up of representatives of each of the agencies. But our Oceano representative that goes to the sanitation district then works autonomously from your board. And so it's very much of a different type of an agency than a joint powers authority. And I've just heard the idea that, well, it's like a JPA come up in a lot of recent discussions, and I'm trying to make sure to get the word out that, in fact, it is not, and it's a unique type of an organization. With respect to the question of who's on this executive committee, it's a loosely termed committee, not a standing committee. And what it simply is the three city managers and the general manager of OCSD, I'm sorry, the two city managers for Rio Grande and Grover Beach, and then myself as the general manager of OCSD, we get together on an as-needed basis, typically to look at the budget. But again, because of the term sheet that was reviewed, we started to look at that. I can get back to you. I can't remember. It was about a week or so ago. But
are you done, Mr.
Yes.
Hogan?
I'm done.
Your mic was on. So I thought maybe you were not done. Okay, if anybody else has any more questions on the report, now's the time to ask it. Otherwise, we're moving on to consent agenda items. And what I'll do is, everybody has everything, so we can take public comment at the top on items that are on the consent agenda. So, Ms. Tucker.
Just a couple of comments on the cash disbursements. The Adamski bill is higher than usual, and I wonder if that could be explained. And then I had to take note of Ms. Lucy's stipends in arrears, and I guess I'm wondering how that happened, that so many got so far behind, and you may have a very simple answer. My question is, what is the policy, and I remember some years ago where we talked about this, in that there's state law in how director compensation is done with regard to committee assignments, and I don't know, committee stipends are to only be done if you've done a written report, so I wonder if the written reports are in step with the same requests for compensation. And then the last item, the 7D on the adoption of the retention schedule, I would ask, I mean, that was quite the information dump, but I would ask, in this digital age when everything is a gig and a zip and a byte and a bit and there's clouds, why can't you save as much as possible? Why do you have to go with the bare minimum that the law requires? It just seems in the digital age you can do that. And so, you know, maybe you take this back to a committee and go through it with a fine-tooth comb what you really should save or shouldn't save. But it seems to me that you can save a lot more, a lot longer than what the bare minimum law requires.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Tucker. Mr. Oberman, would you like to speak to a couple of those?
Certainly.
Statements?
So with regard to the Adamski bill, certainly legal counsel put in a lot of work with regards to the records retention schedule itself, as well as picking up with for Mr. Weinstock, who is no longer with us, on the NCMA-related items and litigation. With respect to the stipends, that's really a result because in working with Nicole on all of our accounts payable items, we've set up schedules for all the board members in order to identify when, you know, which months stipends have been requested and which haven't been. So that new control mechanism set up administratively is helping board members identify, you know, what stipends they have or have not asked for, and therefore we have some catch-up on previous months that are included in your cash disbursements at this time. With respect to the retention schedule itself, that is fundamentally driven based on our legal requirements, but I think that a close read of that will show that there are many types of documents that have to be maintained over a very prolonged basis. One of the ones that not only do many documents have to be maintained on a prolonged basis, but there's also a very broad coverage of the documents that have to be saved. And I am in a practice of saving practically everything that I get, except for, you know, the advertisements that come through from various vendors and those types of solicitations. But one thing that's noteworthy is all general manager correspondence for CSDs has to be maintained. So I have a very extensive, you know, inbox on my emails to break down the different types of correspondence that I do save. But I think it's for a period of two, you know, you go to the end of the calendar year plus two more years, and they have to be saved for that period of time. So a very broad requirement on all correspondence with the general manager and for not less than 2 years. So the legal requirements themselves are pretty extensive. And again, some of the other documentation, there's some documentation that basically has to be held forever. So we look forward to working through literally decades of records that are stored out at and permanent, and in doing so we will also be cognizant of those records that are really historical records that we want to make sure to save on a permanent basis. Be glad to answer any other questions.
What's there like about 400 boxes down there?
I haven't had a chance to count how many. It almost scares me, but there's a lot.
I was shocked at how much there has to be retained.
Good for, you know, good for transparency in government. But yeah, the requirements are very, very broad.
Yeah.
And in looking at it, then what legal counsel did as well is to really break it down into different types of categories. We've got general administration records, we've got board records, a number of different categories. That it's a good logical approach, good work product.
It most definitely is a great work product, and it spells it out very, very clearly, step by step, clear protocol, you know.
And I make a motion that we approve the consent
items. Karen has made a motion that we approve the consent agenda items.
Second.
Jennifer's second. And,
I just have one question before. It's just a day-to-day business operation manner. So let's say you got a file that has a two-year, end of calendar plus two-year. You're going to have a purge date stamp on the file so that when somebody goes through them, they'll see it? Or how are you going to identify it?
Yes, that's the idea. And both in terms of hard copies, if something has to be maintained for a certain period of time, the conventional practice is to identify in the box what the earliest destruction date is. And then in terms of email correspondence, that becomes a little bit trickier, but because I have my inbox broken into literally dozens of different folders, I'm going to go through there and then identify in my file names or my folder names as best as I can the time period back to the schedule of retained records so that archiving and we can use the date functions to make sure to comply with the legal requirements.
Thank you. That was my question. Thank you, President Lucy.
All right. So I think, Jennifer, did you second that? You did. Okay. Let's do a roll call vote on this one.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Passes 5-0. Moving right along to the business items. Mr. Ogren, do you have any preference on where we want to put public comment?
I would recommend, especially because item C is going to have an extensive discussion, that you take public comment on each of the items.
Okay. Very good. All right. You're on.
So with respect to item 8A, I have, relatively little additional verbal comments. The staff report covers both the details from the Special Districts, California Special Districts Association recommendations for opposition to Senate Bill 885. But just real quickly, the opposition is recommended because it limits or prohibits our ability to require professional design engineers or architects, design professionals, from having to defend their own work product. This issue itself has come up a number of times in the legislature over the last 5 to 10 years. And what was common in past was that public agencies would do a risk transfer provision within their contracts that says, to the extent that unless the claim is 100% asserted against the public agency, that if the consultant had any degree of if the claim had any degree of assertions against the design professional, then public agencies would transfer the requirement to indemnify and defend to the consulting group. And so several years ago, design professionals lobbied with the state of California and said, that's not fair that we have to bear the entire burden of litigation, even if we're only 1% culpable for whatever went on. And so the law was changed where basically with design professionals, it's what's called common law indemnity, that we just have to all defend and then we pay in proportion to whatever a judgment or the settlement is. If it's 50% that the special district or the local agency is culpable, they pay 50%, and if it's 50% the design engineer. So that old strategy that agencies used to transfer all of that defense over to the design professionals was eliminated through legislation several years ago. And now what we're seeing is the opposite, where they're lobbying to transfer 100% of the risk to us, even if the claim is for errors or omissions associated with the design professional. So the law as it sits today is about as fair and equitable as it can be. But to transfer that risk, especially to a special district such as ourselves, smaller special districts, we could be very hard-pressed to be able to come up with a defense. And if it's purely against the design professional, it creates a question as to whether or not our insurance company will even defend it. And so it is, a proposal that really, really needs to be opposed as strongly as possible. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Do we know why Honorable Jackson is pushing this forward? Because she's usually really very... her legislation is usually pretty straightforward and not a wasteful exercise. And so I'm wondering why she has such strong feelings against special districts. And then secondly is I kind of took it as silencing the underserved, kind of taking the power away from local government, which is elected by the people. So... it kind of goes against what she typically stands for.
Senator Volk is the one, but...
You're sending it to Hannah Jackson.
She's the chair.
Yeah, so
she's really...
But Volk has been proposed a lot of really good water-related legislation over her career. I'm not sure the motivation on this particular bill, but in any case, the recommendation is to oppose as currently written.
Okay, and then Pavel, was this letter to was it coming from the board or in from each individual board member?
As proposed, it would be signed by yourself, President Lucy. I do have two sort of non-substantive edits that I have put in there. Third line of the letter, which is on page 53, says SB 85 will place undue risks, and instead SB 85 will create undue risks. And then instead of local agencies, it says for any local agencies, the plural is incorrect there, it should say for any local agency. So two sort of non-substantive edits to it. Which
okay, and in the first sentence, did you intend to say we are writing to respectfully oppose or I am writing?
I think that that would be left to your president's discretion if you want to change the I to we or on behalf of OCNLCSD.
Yeah, work better in a we situation.
Yeah, either works.
Okay, we. So. I'd rather go with we.
We.
We, we.
We. We, we.
Yeah, we. I'd like to move staff recommendation.
Yeah.
I'll second as amended.
And?
For the edits.
Amended with it.
Okay, and then before, then this is for the sake of discussion. We'll take public comment on this item.
I do apologize for that.
Okay. For what?
I'm sorry, for forgetting about public comment.
Ms. Tacker passed.
You second something. It's
I know, but I made the motion.
So we can discuss it. Okay. Julie, do you want to say anything on this one?
No.
Okay. So we don't have to do a roll call on this one, do we? Can we go hands, thumbs up? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Passes. Great.
Hand this over to Jennifer. My hand's tired.
Okay. Jen.
On, Madam President, on agenda item 8B then, which is consideration of an application for installation of an irrigation meter on Cienega.
Huh.
Recommendations to deny pending land use determinations by the County of San Luis Obispo. Again, the staff report has a lot of history associated with this particular piece of property, and as Director Angelo had mentioned in her comments earlier, the county went in there and cleaned up what was a quite significant mess on 21st Street.
In fact,
yes, and it was we saw County Public Works trucks out there. Our coordination was with code enforcement, county planning and building. The county went and closed the street off for several days. A little bit more on the coordination effort. As soon as the individuals who had been evicted from the property and all of their possessions were on the street, we posted the property in accordance with our garbage ordinance. That requires a minimum of a 10-day waiting period to allow the property owners or others to clean up the site. They had not done so, but through the coordination with the county, they ended up going in there and doing the cleanup work. So the important point here is that I was glad to hear that some of our local residences felt that the cleanup effort was in a timely manner. A couple days after Supervisor Compton had been apparently contacted. But the truth of the matter is, because of due process requirements, we had noticed them well in advance of that, and county planning through code enforcement had also taken the appropriate steps. I understand from the property owner's attorney that attorney had as well coordinated with county council on the issue. So in terms of the cleanup efforts, I don't know who will ultimately bear the burden of the cost. But again, that coordination effort between the CSD and county code enforcement and county sheriff and then ultimately county public works worked out very well. That's the second incident of this magnitude since I've been the general manager. The other one was closer to the lagoons. I can't remember the exact address. Again, coordination on that one was very important. And the basic approach that we're taking here at a staff level is that, you know, when we have illegal dumping or debris and we post it, we will work with the garbage company to get things cleaned up. But when there's people involved, as was in this case, because they were still living basically in the area in a recreational vehicle, if there's people who are involved in it, then we'll do our notifications and we'll do our posting. But at that point in time, we have to allow county code enforcement and the county sheriff to take the additional steps, because purely underneath the garbage powers, I don't want any of our staff to be in a potential risk situation. Again, it's important in these bigger types of situations to make sure code enforcement and the county sheriff are involved. And in my opinion, they acted in a very timely manner and did a really good job at that cleanup. Now, what the staff report also indicates is that it was several years ago that the property originally had an irrigation meter. That irrigation meter was turned off. I'm not sure about why or how the property became occupied, but the idea was they resumed service without our permission. The property owner, coincidental with or concurrently with the eviction efforts, paid the water bill, so the property owner did what they needed to do. All of that up to that point in time worked out very well, but now we have the request to resume an irrigation meter. We sent the staff report to the property owner, got a copy, as well as the property owner's attorney. They had indicated to us verbally that they would show up today. They ended up not showing up, probably because, I'm going to guess, that after reading the staff report, they recognize that this isn't just a denial of their request, but it's really a denial pending county land use determinations. The biggest thing we want to make sure not to do is provide an irrigation meter if there's going to be anybody on that property, because we don't want to provide water if there's not wastewater service, because that could really quickly create a bad health and safety situation. But until there's more clarity on the land use, until there's some sort of a permit that goes through the county, I think that we need to deny the irrigation meter, especially considering the case that just occurred. And I would be glad to answer any questions.
Just real quickly, as I was driving to the meeting, I did notice that they had put fencing back up around on the inside of the chain link. And I was just like, you just cleaned it up. Don't you want to show it off?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, obviously CHC, Community Health Centers, is working on their project right there as well. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of correspondence. They were very concerned about it and glad to see that the site got cleaned up.
Yeah.
I know that property at one time had a used car lot on it, too.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Does anybody else have any comments they'd like to make on this? Okay.
I'll move to approve staff recommendation. I think she did.
Yeah. Public comment.
I'll move to approve staff recommendation.
Julie's time.
Second.
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Passes 5-0. I want to tell you that this is the best selfie I have ever seen.
That's,
you know,
which
one? The little mirror.
Oh.
Because I can tell those are Jason's. So, thank you for handling that. Many people really do appreciate that, and it makes a huge difference. No. So, moving right along.
Item 8C, status report on Zone 3 Lopez Water, including the proposed 2016-17 budget, the Habitat Conservation Plan, Diablo Desalination Water, potential Zone 3 contract amendments and related topics, advisory committee recommendations. The first thing that I need to do before I jump into my presentation is to confess that I was remiss in not bringing the budget to your board prior to the advisory committee's deliberations on it last Thursday. and there's sort of really no excuse, but I'll explain myself nevertheless. As we'll talk about some of the reserve policies, what ended up happening in the last several weeks is that at a staff level and with the various agencies, there was a lot of discussion and a lot of work on these reserve policies. They're pretty fluid. And I'll get into those reserves as part of the presentation. But it was really that sort of ongoing work effort that ended up distracting my attention and not getting the Zone 3 budget in front of you. You had previously considered the matching support for the stormwater resource plan, which was approved. And so, again, I apologize, but I did not bring this to you prior to the advisory committee's actions, recommendations. What I want to do in terms of covering these topics, because I have a lot of notes that I want to make sure to cover, is basically break it down into a number of different components so that at each break your board can ask questions and have some brief discussions. I don't think that we need public comment on each of the different components because there's really no action items today. If it was a situation where we had multiple significant recommended actions, then your board may wish to have public comment on the different proposed actions. But the reality is that tonight's discussion really is going to be a prelude on other items that your board is going to be considering in the future. And so to have a little bit of preliminary discussions, some background discussions, is good at this point in time. The way that I'm planning this discussion is to first talk about Lopez Water, and of course touching a little bit on state water and groundwater. Then the second is the budget update. The third component will be the Habitat Conservation Plan, followed by some discussion on Diablo Water, and then wrapping it up with just a few points about how those issues may or may not affect our Zone 3 contracts. Moving into the water supply, the question that came up during committee reports was, what is the current status of storage behind Lopez Reservoir? And as of today, it's 14,683 acre-feet in storage, or just a little bit less than 30%, which means that we're still operating underneath the low reservoir response plan. Because we have less than 15,000 acre-feet in storage, we're looking at a minimum of a 10% reduction in our annual allocation for the water year that's coming up. Because we've seen very little inflow into the dam during this rainy season, May is when the advisory committee will be considering whether or not that 10% reduction is enough. Under the low reservoir response plan, when the reservoir level gets under 10,000 acre feet, we're supposed to be looking at a 20% reduction. So we have to wait to see what the remainder of the rainy season looks like and what the projections for the dry season are going to be, but in May the advisory committee will certainly be delivering whether or not the 10% reduction is appropriate or whether or not it should go to a 20% reduction. Those numbers are reflected on page 81, which provides the estimate of Lopez availability. And what that shows is that currently we have 713 acre-feet in storage, specifically for Oceano. That's 713 acre-feet in comparison to our annual Lopez allocation of 303 acre-feet means that today we have 2.3 years of our annual Lopez allocation in storage. That, in terms of what our total demand in the community is, means that we have in storage right now at Lopez more than a year of water just on Lopez. This year, we're going to be, again, like last year, providing basically 100% of our supply through the state water project. So, but if we, with that supply of state water for this year, plus more than a year's water supply in Lopez, tells us that just right off the bat, we have more than 2 years of supply. And that's assuming we had no more state water after this year, and assuming that we did no groundwater pumping at all. But we will be receiving additional Lopez allocations in April, And if it's under the 10% cutbacks, we're going to have 273 acre feet of additional Lopez allocations that will go into storage. If it is the 20% cutback, then we'll see an additional 242 acre feet in storage when it comes to April. So on page 81, what it shows is that in the first scenario, the 713 acre feet we currently have will increase to 986 acre feet, 3.25 years of Lopez allocations, or about 1.4 years of our demand. Under the second scenario, the 713 acre feet we currently have in storage will increase by 242 up to 955 acre feet in storage. Again, over 3 years of Lopez allocation and just under 1.4 years of our current demand scenarios. So to reiterate, we do not intend to use stored water in Lopez this year. And as a result, when it comes to 2017-18, a year from now, we will still get yet another allocation. It's difficult to estimate what that allocation will be for the 2017-2018 water year, because we're going to have to see how much it rains even next year. Nevertheless, what I expressed in the board level board letter, based on judgment, based on recognizing that Oceano has not had to move into mandatory conservation, but if we did, if the drought was extended even further, obviously we can, with mandatory rationing, we'd be able to reduce demand some more. And, you know, judgment associated with state water, there is a Department of Water Resources released estimates that the probability of not getting water two consecutive years in the quantity that we would need is like about 4%. So over a two-year period, the probability of being able to get our state water allocation is very high. When I take into effect judgment and all these different considerations, the 2 years that we currently have in allocations in storage really translates to about 4 years of a dependable supply for the community of Oceano. And with that, I would be glad to answer any questions regarding the Lopez supply situation before moving on to the budget update.
Yes, sir. We have that water in Lopez. Are we guaranteed that they're going to save that water for us?
Yes. Underneath the low reservoir response plan that was adopted, we clearly have that earmarked for us, and it's guaranteed for us. The one challenge that we could have, and we won't have it this year and we won't have it next year, but off a couple years, is if that lake level gets so low and we have water in storage, there's minimum flow requirements at the treatment plant.
Yeah.
And if nobody else has water and we're the only ones that have water, actually being able to get the smaller quantities through the treatment plant could be a challenge. The idea there is that I've estimated that in that driest type of a situation, we would only be able to get our deliveries over like a 3 month period or a 4 month period out of Lopez, which means that some of that water would have to be provided to the other agencies, and then we get other waters. So that challenge, if it surfaces, is really about 3 years out from today. Reflecting a little, I'm going to back up because anticipate at the Board of Supervisors discussion on Tuesday. One of the supervisors did make mention that Lopez could be dry in 2 years, and that certainly is shown on some of the charts. That's assuming current demands and draws continue. That obviously in 2 years we would still have our water in storage, so it's really that third year where we'd say, how much of that could we pull through and actually get treated? So it's one thing where our supply is in good situation. It's another thing recognizing that the treatment facilities and treatment infrastructure might become a challenge in future years. Certainly, if we ever got to that point, our neighboring cities will have had to do something more significant to round out their supplies. And so we're in a fortunate situation where, even though I can envision some hypothetical challenges, we know that there would be a lot of actions before we ever got there.
Yeah, thank you.
So you think that we would have about 1,400 acre feet in reserves in 4 years? Is that?
So right now we're going to be at approximately 1,000, just a little bit under 1,000.
Okay.
2017-18 allocation, though, could get cut back by about 30%. So let's say we only got 200 there.
Okay.
That would take us to almost 1,200 acre feet. Another year like that would take us to almost 1,400 acre feet, but I think we'd be looking at further reduction. So I would project it at more like the 1,100 to 1,300 acre feet range.
All right.
But the four-year estimate of a dependable supply really is taking into account Lopez water, taking into account state water, recognizing that we could do some groundwater pumping if necessary, and also relying on additional conservation under a mandatory program if it became necessary.
And you don't envision us pulling any Lopez next year?
That's correct.
So we'd strictly be on state?
No Lopez this year.
This year, excuse me.
That's right. And the Lopez water year starts on April 1st. So no Lopez water this year.
Well, yeah.
And as long as we can continue to... Yeah.
So do you envision us pulling any Lopez water down in 16, 17?
So this is 16, 17. No, I don't envision us using...
17, 18, I'm sorry.
And then 17, 18 is going to depend on, again, what happens in Northern California, deliveries of the state water project. So a year from now, so state water is delivering at 45%, which it only has to deliver at 20% for us to get the water that we need.
Right.
It's delivering at 45%. If this year, if this time next year, state water is only delivering at 5%, like it did a couple years ago.
Yeah, but we're still good.
Yeah, we're in a good situation, but we might need to start pulling Lopez water at that point in time. The other thing that the future might hold is as the reservoir goes down, if we're solid on state water, let's say a year from now, but the drought is continuing, it might be that some of our neighboring communities need to access some of our Lopez water. So that particular issue might come on the table. It'd be too soon to speculate, but, you know, again, if the drought continues or worsens, then everybody's got to try to figure out how to move water around and do best we can for all the communities. Along those lines, discussions are ongoing with the county and with next month with state water contractors regarding whether or not, since state water is at a 45% delivery year this year, should a special program be made in order to make it available to our local agencies or even potential agencies in Santa Barbara County through the Central Coast Water Authority.
And I think that's where I'm going with this question, is that say we've pulled back on our groundwater for pumping for over 10 years now. We've been pulling back, and out of the whole South County that's pulling off there, we have been the only ones who have pulled back, you know, from zero. I mean, we pump a little bit here and there, but overall we have kept the basin at a home harmless stage. So my concern is that, you know, first of all, I don't want anybody to get the impression that I wouldn't want it to rain. I want it to rain more than most people want it to rain because I love my plants. But say, you know, that we start to get the rain and the dam starts to fill up and Oceano has done, you know, our due diligence as best as we can, probably because we've had to practice in the past with our groundwater basin. But we have, say, you know, between, just for sake of argument, between 1,200 and 1,400 of reserve water in that dam. The LLRP is no longer going to be needed if we get 2 years of water, right? Do you think that we should maybe start thinking about possibly seeing if our neighbors need that water? I mean, start having the discussion of should we sell some of the water?
So the discussions are ongoing.
That's a question, not a statement. That's what I make sure.
Yes. When the Board of Supervisors held their South County study session on the extended drought, some of our representatives of the neighboring communities spoke to the need to get more state water delivered. They spoke to a variety of needs.
Pismo did, or?
Speakers included Ben Fine, Jim Gehring, Greg Ray, and I'm not sure which speaker specifically made that point.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out which neighbors, because our two closest neighbors don't have state water.
Oh, correct, but that doesn't prohibit either Pismo Beach or Oceano from selling state water to them. And in some situations, the county would not even be involved in the transactions. In other situations, the county would be. But the point is that through the board study session, Public Works made sure to let the Board of Supervisors know that they would be working with all of the communities to look at all the various options as the drought continues. So as a result of that, at the Technical Advisory Committee meeting, the last TAC meeting for Zone 3, that basic question was put on the table, and everybody agreed we need to explore these options more. It's going to be discussed most likely with Central Coast Water Authority in the near future. It's going to be on the agenda for the State Water Contractors Committee meeting in April. So the discussions are ongoing and have been going on for a while now. The real question is anything going to develop that we can, as staff for the various agencies, can bring back to our governing boards and me bring back to you, that is actually a concrete concept that is worthy of any potential action. And time will tell. I think with 45% deliveries on state water,
that's very good.
Yeah, there's a possibility, especially when we look at the cost associated with some of the other emergency options and the ability to develop fair types of arrangements on a temporary basis with state water. Because one of the things that I've made sure to mention is that Oceano has been paying for state water for about 20 years now, as has some others. And if there's agencies that access that water now in an emergency, then there needs to be financial consideration to existing state water contractors, and not just Oceano and not just Pismo Beach, but Morro Bay and the rest of them. And that's going to be part of the discussions in April with the state water contractors. But back of the envelope calculations would indicate to me that there's some real possibilities here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about Diablo a little bit more, but when those costs for emergency water were in the realm of $4,000 an acre foot, that's not feasible. Everybody's recognized it's not feasible, but working something on state water may be the most cost-effective approach. And again, I would expect financial consideration to come back to Oceano, Pismo Beach, and all the state water contractors. And also, we have contract provisions that are on our side because the county basically cannot sell state water to any non-state water contractor without waivers from all the state water contractors, similar to the waivers that needed to be signed for the 2014 reallocation between State Water and Lopez. It's the uniformity of contract requirements. So state water contractors very much are in a solid position to talk about what they think may or may not be agreeable in terms of helping out some of the other communities. Obviously, nobody wants to, gouge agencies in emergency situations, but fiscal equity definitely needs to be part of the discussions.
And just real quick, this is my last question, just real quick, because I can't remember. I remember at one time we were with the pumps and everything, it was costing us about $440 an acre foot for ground, but we're not pumping ground. So what is Lopez, about 700 an acre foot?
Well, let's see. I guess the best way to do the apples and apples there is when we talk about pumping costs out of groundwater, that's the variable cost of delivery.
Right. I was just looking. I just mentioned that because I was looking at it from the cheapest to the highest.
Well, groundwater is always by far the cheapest source if it's available, because all you have to do is really pump it and chlorinate it. And I haven't gone back and computed the cost for Oceano, but typically that's running more in about the $200, $250 an acre foot range. On Lopez, we essentially have no variable cost of delivery. So our fixed costs are well over $1,000 an acre foot.
Okay.
But to actually get that water delivered doesn't cost us hardly anything. So it's the cheapest from a variable cost standpoint. State water, from a variable cost standpoint, is a couple hundred dollars an acre feet as well.
Okay.
So from a ballpark perspective, the cost of delivering state water is about the same as the cost of pumping groundwater. Again, state water is a lot more expensive because we have the debt service costs and higher fixed costs.
Right.
One of the things that is in the near-term horizon is that fixed costs associated with state water, the CCWA bonds are scheduled to be paid off in 2021, so we should see 5 years out, we should see a nice little drop in our state water costs. But
all right, thank you.
Certainly.
Anybody have any questions? No? I'm going to open it up for public comment. Julie, do you have any?
Madam Chair, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to run through all of them. If these were action items, then I would.
So you're going to do the budget right now?
Yes.
Please.
All right.
So on the Zone 3 budget, the county's proposed budget for next fiscal year was prepared on the same basis as the current year. For example, the budget policy that supports $550,000 per year in capital outlay and maintenance is being adhered to. Overall, the amount paid by Zone 3 agencies is increasing from $6,573,000 to $6,772,000. That the Oceano portion of that $6.5 million budget is moving from $443,000 to $462,000, or an increase of just over $19,000. As your board may recall, the Proposition 218 that was approved last year provides a pass-through of wholesale water costs, and what that translates to then is currently our Lopez charge is $1.54 per unit of water consumed. The increase in Lopez costs will take that $1.54 and increase it by 7 cents to $1.61. As I mentioned, the budget was prepared in a consistent approach. But in addition to normal inflationary increases, there are a couple items that are causing it to edge up a little bit more. One is the county has to update their software on water quality reporting, and that's called a LIM system, where they're tied in straight to the state's reporting through, I think it's the Division of Drinking Water. So they have to do updates on their software for water quality reporting. Need to increase testing due to the algae counts, which we know are more problematic with a drought and lower water levels. They've also had a number of drought-related efforts that they've needed to undertake. And then finally, the tule removal in the terminal reservoir needs to take care. So they did have a number of items that pushed up their budget a little bit. Separately, the advisory committee also recommended some specific designations of reserves, and I think that this is especially important this year. Page 122 illustrates reserves, including just over $2.9 million in flood control district funded reserves that are within the Zone 3 budget. This $2.9 million in reserves was established in and around the year 2000, prior to the Lopez seismic project and when the contracts were renegotiated for the seismic project. And those reserves have stayed relatively untouched in the past 15 years. They have been expended for a few different things, but they've held relatively stable. Essentially, what the advisory committee did this year is took action to recommend some specific designations for those reserves. And page 82 illustrates the advisory committee's recommendations. One is utilizing $30,000 for improvements on Carpenter Creek. That is something that could help mitigate some of the flooding potential in Metal Creek Lagoon area. It's really hard to say what that benefit is going to be. But again, for a relatively minor cost amount, the county is going to be working with state parks to try to work some to do some work on Carpenter Creek. $10,000 for cloud seeding work, not for implementation, but today if we want to do cloud seeding, there has to be a CEQA determination associated with it. The big items then move to $250,000, not to exceed $250,000 as the matching fund for the stormwater resource plan. The city of Arroyo Grande did act to be the lead agency on the development of the stormwater resource plan if the grant is approved. That grant application did go in last week before the deadline. The actual number of the match is going to be closer to about $190,000, and the county will do the final reconciliation on that. That particular resource plan would be very important because even though Oceano, we don't have drainage or flood control or stormwater powers, of course, the major impact of flooding is felt in Oceano. And it would have some benefits for Zone 1 and 1A and some of the future deliberations that need to go with respect to 1 and 1A. So we're hopeful that the grant will be awarded. There's also going to be some specific benefits to the cities where they do have stormwater and drainage requirements and their compliance with their NPDES reports for the regional board. And one of the things that we talked about in the development of the stormwater resource plan is we recognize that if that grant is approved, not all of the agencies will benefit the same, but everybody's going to benefit. Again, some of the cities will benefit by improving their ability to comply with regulatory requirements that are on them. For Oceano, even though we don't have regulatory requirements, again, we face the brunt of the flooding, and so the benefit to the community is hopefully to reduce likelihood or severity of flooding. Another item of designations shown is $250,000 not to exceed for groundwater modeling. And this particular recommendation is the one that I sort of worked the hardest on in the last couple weeks to try to get through because the county had put forth a concept, County Public Works had, in order to do the groundwater modeling that would cover both NCMA and NMMA, the cost-sharing arrangement of one-third through County Flood Control District, one-through NMMA, and one-third through NCMA. And so what this recommendation on designations out of Zone 3 is essentially to get the NCMA costs, one-third, covered through the Zone 3 budget. And with the $2.9 million sitting in reserves for so long and the cost impacts that all of the NCMA agencies have been feeling because of the drought, reduced revenues, and whatnot, support on that particular item is especially important. We have about 20% of the groundwater allocation in NCMA, and so 20% of $250,000 is a direct financial benefit to Oceano of about $50,000. In sum, the budget proposes to increase our costs by about $19,000 for the basic Zone 3 billings, but now we're also going to get a $50,000 benefit back by avoidance of other future costs. So we're coming out, you know, ahead with these budgetary recommendations.
Pablo, I have a question for you. I just don't know when the right time is. It's the long question. The OCSD is $42,000. Could that $50,000 credit be put towards the $42,000 debt that we have? When the bonds were refinanced before?
Yeah, no, we would not be able to do so because that would be a singular benefit to Oceano. So these reserve designations really are being established because they benefit all the agencies. the other agencies are going to still expect that we pay off, you know, our debt service costs. So I would not envision that we would be able to allocate it for that purpose. But again, the big benefit is that we're not going to have to come up with the money ourselves in order to fund the groundwater modeling. It's going to come through this particular budget. I also think it's really important, and it's a good policy decision or recommendation, because we know that our local agriculture is also going to be benefiting from groundwater modeling. Our local agriculture has benefits from the development of the Habitat Conservation Plan, which I'll speak to in a little bit, and from the very existence of the dam. And so we as municipalities end up paying for costs because we need the water supply. But some of those costs we pay for also has a benefit, even if it's indirect, to agriculture. And so for Zone 3 to help fund the NCMA share of groundwater modeling is appropriate because those property taxes were also generated from agriculture. The last item is the $498,000 for safety-related water and supply projects. And those, that's just a set-aside. There's not something that's specifically identified. There's some drainage concerns into the terminal reservoir. But in sum, that would leave almost $1.9 million in operating reserves in case there's certain, you know, unforeseen problems that pop up. In summary, we're looking at just slightly less than, again, a $20,000 increase in our Lopez costs through the proposed budget. But $50,000 in future savings by avoiding the groundwater modeling costs that we would otherwise need to pay. And I'd be glad to answer any questions on the budget update.
I have a question. Who is reaching out to the NMMA regarding their share of the groundwater modeling costs?
So,
do we know?
Yes, we do know. We all are.
Okay.
So at the hearing where the judge provided his tentative ruling to deny the city's motion against the Mesa, the judge's direction was for the agencies to meet and confer and then return back to the courts, I believe, in May. So we've had discussions amongst the groups and with the attorneys in a confidential litigation environment, so I'd be not really able to speak about the details of those. But the dialogue is going on. The preparation for that meet and confer is going on. Legal counsel is in the loop of those as well. Who the specific representatives who will go to the meet and confer is yet to be decided, but we have clearly indicated that we intend on being there. And in general, I think the discussions are heading in the right direction, but a lot more work to be done on that.
Thank you.
Moving on. The next topic is going to be my shorter topic, and that's on the Habitat Conservation Plan. And it's been ongoing for the better part of 20 years. It's also tied to the renewal of the water rights permit for Lopez and essentially necessary for the protection and recovery of steelhead trout. It's a regulatory item. It's not something that is a discretionary item. The Habitat Conservation Plan has the effect of increasing releases into Arroyo Grande Creek and decreasing the availability of surplus water to the municipalities. The dam itself and the safe yield assumes 4,200 acre feet are released to the creek every year, although that's rarely ever happened. And to the extent that the releases are less than 4,200 acre feet, then that difference is deemed to be surplus water available to the municipalities in the subsequent year. Because we're in the drought and operating underneath the low reservoir response plan, there are no surplus water to be had, but instead we have the ability to store our water during the drought. Again, our basic allocation of 303 acre feet per year is really not at risk, the best as we can tell. but our ability to get surplus water in future years is impacted during wet and normal seasons. The 2015 habitat conservation efforts have moved further along and are really in a good situation, but some additional scenarios are needed. First, how might permanent storage rights affect the habitat conservation plan? And what do I mean by permanent storage? Well, consider that the existing surplus water provisions in the contracts are essentially use it or lose it provisions, that if we don't use our water in a given year, it goes into the surplus pool and we only get 6.69% of it back because that's our allocation. So, and the contracts for Lopez, which were structured in the 1960s, are really old school contracts where you evaluate water in a single year, and if you don't put it to beneficial use, then somebody else should be able to do so. And a lot of contracts in California have been modified, similar to the Low Reservoir Response Plan, where storage rights are established. And we've seen that at Whale Rock Reservoir, most closely located to us. But moving from single-year water resource planning to multi-year water resource strategies is the idea to promote drought reliability and resiliency. And if storage rights are established, how might that affect the habitat conservation plan? And if the municipalities are able to seek storage rights, then might agriculture want some sort of storage rights as well? And so that's a question that's out there. In summary, the technical evaluations on the habitat conservation plan have progressed well, and the next step is to evaluate scenarios of storage rights, how they might be modified, and what effect they may have on operations and creek releases. And I would be glad to answer any questions on the habitat conservation plan.
I think those are all relevant inquiries, but obviously we can't answer them here.
So the HCP consultant is trying to work through developing some scenarios.
Right.
And they'll get back with the technical advisory committee. But the work effort so far has been done based on historical Lopez operations, and now we have to think about how it might be operated in the future. Moving on to Diablo, then, which is certainly a topic du jour. And on Tuesday, the Board of Supervisors received an update from county staff, along with several recommendations. The Board of Supervisors approved the staff recommendations on a 5-0 vote. And our two supervisors, District 3, Adam Hill, and District 4, Lynn Compton, certainly we're seeing eye to eye on those recommendations, and it was nice to see the unanimous decision of the Board of Supervisors. The recommendations themselves are consistent with the approach used in developing the Nacimiento project in the late 1990s, the early efforts. The Board of Supervisors approved $900,000 for an EIR and a coastal development permit. Estimated timeline is 2 years. And essentially what their action did is recognize that Diablo Water simply isn't feasible only as an emergency water supply. 7 miles of pipeline and everything else that would have to be done are just not feasible for emergency water. And so the question that's out there is the project going to be a good reliability or resiliency project for the Zone 3 areas? And that answer is going to be made in the future. There were some who pleaded that the Board of Supervisors just stop right now. I was glad to see them move forward because that decision really shouldn't be the Board of Supervisors. They're providing an opportunity. The decision is ultimately the decision of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, Oceano, and County Service Area 12. But along with that, recognizing that the board approved $900,000, but conditional on county staff developing reimbursement agreements from agencies who might want to participate. So the county is not going to pay for that $900,000 without reimbursement agreements, which is essentially the same as what we do when new development knocks on our door and creates cost impacts to us, whether it's through line extensions or whatnot. That the idea is the developer has to sign a reimbursement agreement in order to pay for our cost of accommodating them. Since Oceano has 6.69% of Lopez allocations, and Diablo would need the Lopez infrastructure for deliveries, one option for Lopez agencies is to participate in Diablo in the same percentages as Lopez, and the existing Lopez contracts allow for that through provisions that allow for additional capital projects. Now, those additional capital projects, not everybody has to participate in the additional capital projects. Certainly, everybody can participate. And it would be too premature to provide a recommendation on participating with Diablo at this point in time. But under the scenario that the county adopted, and assuming our participation would be the same as Lopez, because Diablo water essentially would improve the reliability of our surface water supplies as a whole for the Zone 3 area. In contrast, the recycled water projects will help improve the reliability of groundwater supplies. So both of them would have different benefits. Both of them have costs, and future decisions are going to have to incorporate a comparison of the two different projects. You know, if the only goal, and if money was unlimited, was to improve reliability and drought resiliency, both projects would be great. Again, one improving surface water supplies and allowing Lopez Lake to constantly be at a higher elevation, more water in storage, and recycle water helping with the groundwater supplies. But future deliberations are going to clearly have to look at cost implications, benefits, and a number of different issues. But under the $900,000 scenario for environmental impact reports and coastal development permits, assuming the 6.69%, which is our Lopez allocation, and the two-year horizon, our cost would be $60,000 or $30,000 per year. And what it would do is increase our Lopez charge, the one that was $1.54 and is going to go up to $1.61. It would have a 10-cent impact on those for the two-year period. Actual cost of implementation would be significantly higher, however, and total project costs are estimated at $30 million plus or minus. In other words, implementation is not going to be inexpensive. Now, the cost estimates right now have a lot of contingencies built in, and so being able to further analyze those cost details is something that I need some time on in order to come back to your board with some more specific information. I plan on doing that in the first meeting in May. As we started at our last meeting, the first meeting in March, we're starting to evaluate our unfunded long-term costs. So we talked about laterals at the last meeting. In next meeting, the first meeting in April, we're going to come back. Tony and I and the guys have been working on our equipment, and we're going to develop estimates of, you know, equipment replacement needs over the long term. And so just like we're creating the chart of what are our various unfunded costs, at the first meeting in May, I plan on coming back after having the opportunity to analyze the Diablo cost estimates some more and presenting to you what I think the range of costs would be based on 6.69% in allocation. It's kind of an interesting discussion also because a few minutes ago we were talking about how much water we have and, you know, the overall fact that our water supply portfolio is in good shape. So to what extent does Oceano really need to improve on the reliability of its supplies? In May, then, I'll come back and talk about cost estimates associated with Diablo. I'll also talk about cost estimates associated with state water drought buffer, because that is, again, a mechanism to improve our reliability, and come back with cost estimates associated with reclaimed water. That way, when we have a discussion about the early cost estimates, we can really line up all three of those reliability options. And I think it's important because even though we're looking at this current drought and, you know, Oceano is in better situation than a lot of other communities, the question really comes is how bad are the droughts going to be in the future? How much are we going to be impacted? We know they're going to come back. And when you're in a good situation, the worst thing to do is to sit on your hands and figure that you're going to be good forever. So we need to make sure to keep evaluating these things. Good news is we don't have to hire a consultant to do this kind of analysis. It's all going to come, you know, within your current year budget, and we'll be back in May In summary, each of our supplies do have weaknesses. You know, groundwater right now is basically at an all-time low. Lopez is already getting cut back. State water is at 45% delivery, which for many people in the state is bad, but for us on San Luis Obispo County subcontractor is good. Our strength is on the diversity of our water supply portfolio, and do these options help to improve that diversity? And in an ideal situation, if we had the ability to maybe do some exchanges in water, we might be able to enhance our reliability and reduce our costs. It's too early to draw any conclusions on that, but if that ended up being the case where we could improve reliability and reduce our costs, then that would be the best case scenario. Again, I'll come back in May and do some more discussions on that. In the meanwhile, we also know that grants and other efforts are going to be covered, are going to be investigated, but the analysis is going to assume no grants. And my final comment on this is really that I think that through the efforts of the county, through the efforts of the city of Pismo Beach, through the efforts that are now picking back up speed at South County Sanitation District on recycled water, that the ability for us and the other agencies to really do a good comparison of the different options that are out there and to make good future decisions, the information is all going to be there. And I'll be glad to answer any questions associated with Diablo.
So how did the Board of Supervisors leave it?
So they approved staff recommendations, and so county staff now has to approach all the agencies about reimbursement agreements. County staff also has to go work with PG&E, because the only agreement with PG&E right now is for emergency water. Tom Jones, representing PG&E, was at there, and you know, he sort of expressed that opinion that they can figure out how to work it out with the county. You know, there was some discussions about, you know, the relationship of the desalination plant versus the basic operations of the power plant, and it seems to be that the conventional discussion is they are two separate issues. Mr. Jones had made the statement that even after Diablo gets decommissioned, the desalination plant is still going to have to operate for something like 50 years as part of decommissioning. So those discussions, and the one thing that the county, I think, is going to embark upon even before any reimbursement agreements, so they'll have a little bit of financial risk if the reimbursement agreements don't get adopted, is simply scoping of the environmental impact report. But I would not, and an RFP for consultants, but without reimbursement agreements, that's about all the county is going to do, because they really need to hear back from the agencies as to whether or not the agencies want for that option to move forward.
Okay. So they didn't. So they have. They did determine that they'll only. It would be only considered for emergency use and not for regular use.
No, not for emergency use.
Oh, to expand it.
Yeah, okay. But only for a. It's only potentially feasible as a long-term reliability project, resiliency project.
I was just wondering how the classification finally came out.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Don't fight over who's next on questions.
I'll try not to.
Okay. Then we'll start at your end of the table.
No, I don't have any. Of course, my concern about the Diablo desal is whether or not, and running a pipe, whether or not the money could be better spent South County on reclamation. You know, I just want to ring the reclamation bell as many times as I can. And so those are my. I don't expect you to have the answer to that.
Well, yeah, and so the good news is we're going to have a lot of information so that, you know, good decisions could be made in the relatively near future.
Don't we need both?
Well, from a reliability standpoint, the argument is very strong that we need both. When I look at cost implications and everything, I think that one of the discussions needs to be the timing on implementation. When Diablo cannot meet an emergency water need, then we know that if the drought continues, we're going to have to be looking at some other things on the short term, and state water might fit into that picture. Now, the Board of Supervisors also recognizes that if it really extends, they want to make sure Diablo is ready to go. That would lead to the argument of doing the EIR work and coastal development permit work, and the off-ramp might just be if during that period of time reclamation is actually getting implemented, then maybe the Diablo option is deferred to an uncertain date in the future. It would not be uncommon in evaluating these different options to say, okay, priority one is this, but we're not taking priority two off the table at all. It just might meet more the 5 to 10 year scenario or, you know, some other scenario. So those are the types of discussions that I would anticipate seeing. But with good cost information so that these can really be lined up side by side in terms of costs and benefits, again, there's a lot of good work that's been going on, the work that the county has done so far on Diablo, the work that the city of Pismo has done on reclaimed water, the work that's ongoing with South County Sanitation District. All of that information is going to be coming together so that some good policy decisions can be made in terms of priorities and what, you know, should be pursued first versus second. Again, if we had everything, if cost wasn't an issue, then both would be good because Diablo has the potential of firming up the reliability of surface water, and recycled is the firming up the reliability of our groundwater.
Jennifer?
Yeah. No, I do understand the value as an additional alternative, but there are some things about it, including the higher cost, which I think than recycled water, which I think the gap is a little bigger than was, or will end up being a little bigger than was shown, and the risks to the environment. I'm not a huge fan, so I would agree with Director Guerrero on focusing on recycled water, but I understand. I do want to see the numbers still. But I was curious on, it would be Exhibit C, the staff report from the county. The first paragraph on page 89 of 130. Yeah. Yeah. It talks about the attached feasibility analysis. The very last sentence in that paragraph says these costs will be recovered from project partners should the project move forward to completion and implementation. So I'm wondering if they go through this planning phase with the EIR and the pre-planning, I guess, and they end up with a no-go determination, will the agencies be responsible? It sounds to me like we wouldn't be. But there was elsewhere that it said, you know, that
I'm sure we will.
They were looking for reimbursement agreements. So,
yes, I would anticipate that, and certainly based on the discussion and the policies associated with the Nacimiento project, mm-hmm. That they expect that the $900,000 will be recovered, even if the final decision is no go.
Okay, and so then that would be based on us signing a reimbursement agreement, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
And we know right up front, I mean, that was an easy cost implication for me to calculate. That's 10 cents on the Lopez charge for a two-year period.
Okay, so I was going to clarify on that. Yeah. So it is 10 cents for the 2 years, not 10 cents per year?
Well, 10 cents on the rate,
right,
over a two-year period.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Lori, do you have any questions?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I'm going to open it up for public comment.
Oh. Almost there.
Okay.
So my last one is simply, in the staff report I had mentioned advisory committee recommendations, and I sort of embedded those in the previous one. But just to reiterate contract amendments again. As mentioned before, it would be ideal to obtain storage rights at Lopez, and a contract amendment would be needed. If Diablo is pursued through the Zone 3 agencies and the Lopez contracts, a contract would be needed on that as well. I don't have any really more specifics. I had mentioned that contract amendments for storage. Agriculture is already asking the question of whether or not they should have any storage rights. But I just sort of wanted to reiterate real quickly that depending on the direction that moves forward or doesn't move forward on these particular items, I may be coming back to your board with some concepts associated with contract amendments.
Okay. Is there anything else, Mr. Ogre?
Be glad to answer any questions.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions?
No.
No?
No, it just sounds like a lot.
Public comment. Usually, you know, I kind of skip a couple of them, so I'm trying to make them up.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I'm particularly interested in the Diablo D-cell. And I'm sharing with you a letter I wrote to the Board of Supervisors on the topic because I feel very strongly about it. And while the reliability and the arguments Mr. Ogren makes to pursue the project or pursue analysis of the project, Oceano doesn't need it. You really don't. And even to spend $30,000 this year and next as part of your contribution towards the $900,000, you don't need it. You have enough water allocated for your community, even at build-out. And to even go down this path without implementing mandatory conservation, when you're sounding alarm bells or your supervisors are saying there's only 2 years left of water in the South County, is ridiculous. There's nobody putting a moratorium in. The water offsets that were recently adopted for the Napomo Mesa are one-to-one ratios. There's no retrofit on sale in Oceano. There is in Napomo. The Diablo Canyon location itself is similar to that of the South County Sanitation District. Planned retreat. Why would you put your very important infrastructure along the water's edge? It will fall in as the sea level rises. So I don't know why we would invest any more in that location. Let's see.
And you're speaking to
Diablo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just said Sand District, and
right.
So why
and
would we
just
put
like
more money into it?
That's exactly. And in both locations
correct.
Are the same arguments.
Yes.
Tsunami risk, sea level rise.
I just wanted to make sure that
and Diablo
I had
Canyon
your words
has
right.
been analyzed from an earthquake perspective beyond yeah. belief, and it sits on two faults, you know, so that's just ridiculous to rely on it. When earlier Mr. Ogren spoke about how the makeup of the sanitation district is, and that it's not a JPA, and I just want to back up a little bit, only to say that you are NCMA partners. You are Lopez partners. And these conversations need to be held under an umbrella. And I'd like to see Oceano stand up and support recycled water and... not that you'd have to pay for that either, because again, you have enough water. But that's the low-lying fruit, conservation and recycled water by comparison to this. Just, this is out of your mind expensive. And when you're running back of the envelope calculations, Mr. Ogren, I think you can do this and get it down to how much it actually costs each ratepayer. You could do that. And that's the no-go project.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. Okay. Mr. Ogren.
Certainly no recommended actions today. I think that the important point of addressing Diablo and state water drought buffer and recycled water is to be able to do that comparison of benefits and costs so that at the end of the day, the decisions that are made are well supported by facts. And I think that that's the process that we're going through. It needs to be done in consideration with the other agencies as well. When agencies such as Oceano are in a good water situation, we can't forget about our neighbors. And again, the idea that in looking at our portfolio, how these different options might benefit the portfolio, look at what the costs are, I think then it will lead to a logical discussion of where the priorities are and where the money is best spent. We just don't want to do that on a premature basis and prior to the analysis and those discussions occurring. So I was again glad to see that the Board of Supervisors approved the actions that they did so that that option is still on the table, and whether or not your board or Grande or Grover or Pismo even want to pursue it or not is going to yet be determined, but it certainly is a good part of a public process to look at the options, benefits and costs, and the financial analysis that I come back with in May will dig into the details to provide your board with good, meaningful information.
Thank you. All right. It is 8:35. I'm going to move it on to item number 9. Any hearing items?
Nope.
Okay. Did we get any written communications?
I have none. I'm late. Ms. Tucker handed out her letter.
Yep, we all have that.
Good questions and points to consider in future meetings.
Great reading material. Late received written, because since we don't have any early received.
Correct.
Okay.
No closed session items.
We don't have a closed session. Any future agenda items?
No new ones that we haven't already addressed at prior meetings.
Okay. No future hearing items. I think we should let the new general manager for the Sand District settle in before we ask him to come and
talk about
and bond with us.
Yes.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.